Hey everyone, Jefferson Graham here. We got the iPhone Photo Show podcast brought to you by Smug Mug today. We are going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to be very gear heavy today because my friend Doc is majorly into gear as I am, photo gear. We're going to talk about some new surveys that came out this week about the iPhone that are, I think, are very interesting. We're going to talk about a new app that lets you connect your camera directly to the iPhone and use it as a monitor from Capture One. We got that going. We got a new road app that Doc is really excited about.
Right.
Say everybody, say hi everyone to Doc Rock, otherwise known as Sean Boyd. He is the face of eCam, and he is a gearhead like I am, and we speak the same language. And we got together the other day, and my wife said, "Hey, what did you talk about?" And I said, "F-stop, shutter speeds, lighting, accessories, you name it." And she goes, "Boy, is that boring." Well, it's not boring to me. I had a great time.
It's not boring to us. Yeah, this is what we do.
A new survey that says that nobody looks at their photos, most people anyway, after they've taken them. They just sit on their iPhone or whatever mobile phone they have, and they sit in that camera roll. And that's a shame. I got some ideas there. People on the average have over 3,100 photos on their phone, says this survey that was put out by Mixbook, which is a photo book maker, maybe a little self-serving, because this is what they want to hear, that nobody's doing anything with their pictures. But I think they're right, though. They said that the worst offenders, the people who have the most photos who never look at them, are in Indiana, California, and Mississippi. And the state most likely to have people looking at their photos are South Carolina. Okay, so thank you, South Carolina, for that. And that's a mixed book put out this survey. I certainly look at my pictures, but I know most people are sitting there swiping most of the time looking for stuff. But what do we do? What solutions do we have? I have, which I think is a pretty good one, but let's start with you first, Doc. What would you say to people who never look at their pictures after they've taken them? How could we get them more into their lives?
Well, first of all, I journal. So in the course of journaling, I insert the photos. And part of the thing of journaling is to go back every 3-6 months to a year and see what you're doing. So what was I doing 90 days ago? What was I doing half a year ago? What was I doing last year this time? What was I doing 5 years ago? I can see all of that real simple in Day One Journal, right? That's the app that I use. Apple is making their own as part of the OS. That helps. The other thing that I think that everybody should do is right there on your phone, it puts it right there. And it just make it a widget on your phone.
Yeah.
So that way you'll see stuff. And what happens to me all the time is when it goes to bring up a relevant photo, I go, "Oh yeah, I remember that time, you know, we were at Hermosa Beach eating at the good stuff." And then maybe I'll send it to you or text it to you. So a friend of mine, Kelly Gaumont, you may have heard of her before. She's a tech writer. She just sent me a picture from 12 years ago today where we were making Dr. Pepper cakes.
Okay.
So that's a good way to do it.
My recommendation is to use your iPhone and do wallpaper, the wallpaper photo shuffle. So you can put a whole collection of photos that will fly across the screen. Every time you open up your phone, you'll get a different picture. And at least then you're going to get to see the dang things. You can set them to be nature, people, and featured, and mix them all together.
Yes.
So that's a good idea.
And they've taken it a step further in iOS 17 because I have the beta.
Okay, tell us about the beta and tell us what you can do with photos in the beta, Doc.
Well, it's similarly how you do the photo shuffle on the back wall, but you can put widgets on there, which you can't already do on the iPhone. They've added it to the iPad. You will also look at it more. You know what I mean? Because the widgets I go to all the time, like for instance, right now, I have the no more schedules today. You were the last one. It's 79 degrees outside, and my watch has 3/4 of the charge. So by having to look at my phone for this relevant information, Carrot Weather is there most of the time with something snarky to say. I'm always looking at the page, and so therefore you see the image that's there. And so now they've made it so that if it is a live photo, it will actually make a slow motion action of that live photo. And so I think that also brings you into the, I want to take more pictures and pay more attention to my pictures mindset.
Well, I think people are taking pictures. They're just not looking at them, according to the survey. And of course, we didn't mention printing because everybody should print, particularly thinking about the next generation. Some of us grew up with photo books and photo prints and photo albums, and the next generation is not. And if we ever want to leave any memories behind, you know, all they got is this, and I think they need some printed photos. So
it's so funny you say that, because we grew up on any holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving come to mind, Mother's Day, and sit down and open up the photo book and go through the photo album. We've seen all those pictures 100 times. Every time we go another holiday, we all go through the book again. I do make slideshows for my family, but it's only for the older ones. I make them for mom and mother-in-law and stuff like that, because they just get it tickles them pink. But I think on a normal basis, we don't sit around and go through our photo albums like that.
Though we should. And just to go back, I made slideshows with real slides, you know, once upon a time.
Yeah. Right? With the Kodak 300.
That's right.
By the way, stacking those donuts.
Bev wants us to know that Bev is a female. So there we go. Thank you, Bev. And thanks for being here, Bev. Appreciate it. I have another survey to talk about. Now, so survey says the iPhone continues to be the most used camera on Flickr, accounting for over 150 million photos on Flickr, 31.79% of the total. Which is not a surprise. I'm sorry. I am surprised. I would think it would be 95%. So I think there's a lot of older pictures on Flickr. The most popular model is the Apple iPhone 11, which has 13 million tags on Flickr. And that is a sad commentary, because if you really want to look back at the iPhone 11 versus the 14 and you're interested in photography, you've lost a lot. So I did the old compare the models today, and there's a lot there. There's a lot that you're missing. Go ahead.
I have an interesting input.
Yeah.
That's because since the iPhone 11, Flickr was acquired. During that acquisition, a bunch of people didn't go with. So the data is, I wouldn't say it's anecdotal, but it's missing a superset because a bunch of people left Flickr before, during, and after the acquisition. It was a great acquisition, trust me. Like, we needed Smug Mug is our favorites, but it's because we're photographers and we know better, right? The general population doesn't know better. A lot of them, also after the 11, in 12, Apple opened up iCloud to add extra. And if you did Apple One, you got another 2 terabytes. So people weren't as freaked out, you know? And a bunch of other services have come since then. So I think part of it is because Flickr is losing its power. I will not use Hawaiian words today. Flickr has lost some of its power, and that's why their numbers are askew. We need a different source.
Well, let's say, for the sake of argument, that most people have the iPhone 11 and didn't do the upgrade. Out of that 2 billion people who have iPhones, let's say that's true, because we don't know. But let's say it's true. Let's talk about what they're losing out on. If they're sitting there with the iPhone 11 and saying, well, I don't need to upgrade, this camera is fine. Well, the iPhone 11 had no MagSafe, which is a kind of a nice thing. I kind of like it on the back. The iPhone 11 came in 64 gigabytes of storage versus 128 gigabytes. And And their quote-unquote telephoto lens was 52 millimeter. And when you went up to the 12, you went to 65 millimeter. And now we're at 77. Now we've got a really great working camera with the lens that I use on my Sony at 24 to 70, except now I've got a 13 to 77 millimeter. I'm way more versatile. So you're way better off with at least a 13 or 14, which I'm going to ask your doc for his comments. And then there's a question that will definitely come up. What do you have to say?
Well, it's funny because I have 12, 13, and 14. So I have 12 Pro, 13 Pro Max, 14 Pro Max, and 100%. The last three jumps have been massive. And what's funny is every time the YouTube verse goes crazy, is, oh, the camera's not that much of an upgrade. I'm like, because you're not really paying attention or you don't really know what you're talking about. Because even from the 13 to 14, it was a pretty big jump on 48 megapixels. Let's start there, right? So, yes, it's there. And no, I know, I get not everybody has any reason to change their phone every year. But Apple does make it easier. Originally, as tech people, when we did the upgrade every year, it was kind of expensive. Now, it doesn't really do anything.
Let's talk logistics. So you're going to spend $1,200, $1,200 to $1,400 for the phone, okay?
$1,600.
Okay, he spent $1,600 because he got the 1 terabyte storage.
Gotta be.
Okay, so let's say, just to be fair, $1,500. And then you use it every day, 365 days a year, 10 hours a day, right? You use this thing more than anything that you come into contact with. Okay, and I'm not as good at math as Doc Rock is.
$4.10.
So that's
$4.10.
$4.10 a day. Okay, $4.10 a day for the device that you will use more than. I mean, you're going to use this more than your car, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. So buy the phone for $1,500, and then you're going to sell it the next year for $700, right? $700, $800, and then your $4.10 is actually going to be about $2 a day. That you have had the privilege of having the latest and greatest. So there goes that, which segues into the question that I get. I'll get it all summer long, which is, I want to buy a new phone. Which one should I buy, and should I buy it now? And of course, the answer is absolutely not. Correct?
No, not at all. Don't think about it. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just don't freaking move. And actually, again, I know that all the services have it. I use the Apple plan. I use the Apple upgrade plan because basically my phone calculates out to about $68 a month. And I just give it back and get the next one. It's still $68 a month for about the past 5 years. It never changes. They go, but you never get to own the phone. Phone is like a car to me. You don't want to own it.
No, you don't need it. Why do you need it? What difference does it make? You've got the pictures, which are transactional, and your contacts, you move, and there's really nothing that you need to own on it. But anyway, why not buy a new phone now? Well, it's June 15th is today.
And unless you have dropped in the water where, you know, you have no choice, we're going to get a new phone. I'm lucky. It always comes out on my birthday, and it normally can pick it up like a week after. So I'm September 12th. The announcement is normally around my birthday.
Right
and
after
I normally
the 4th.
Pick it up the Friday after. You're September 4?
No. It's generally right after Labor Day. So that's when they make the announcement.
Wow, you're a virgin too? I mean, Virgo?
I am not. But I'm a June baby. But anyway.
Well, happy birthday then.
Thank you. So 3 months from now, there'll be the latest, greatest iPhone they've ever released. And I will say that. It's lighter. It's
every
faster.
Time.
It's got the best chip in the world. It's got upgraded camera. Hopefully, we're going to have a real telephoto lens. We're going to get 10X, 20X. Who knows? That's our hope. Anyway. And to buy an iPhone 14 Pro for $1,200 or whatever now is just total insanity. If you're really stuck, as Doc said, if you dropped it in the water and it was inoperable, which of course it's not because it's water resistant, buy an SE, buy a used phone as a secondary phone and hold on to it and then get rid of it again. That's what I would say.
That's true. I definitely agree with, so this go round, having kept my I started it with my 12. Having kept my 12 and kept my 13, I just think it's worth, especially for what I do, I think it's worth actually having multiple phones. But you're right. The amount of stuff that we use our phone for, and what, I think it's the most used device in our house. I use the phone more than my TV, my Apple TV, my car. I think the only thing I use more than my phone is probably the air fryer.
There's nothing that could compare. My MacBook. Okay. So my phone and my computer, period. That's it. The TV in my house is on for an hour a night, if that. There's nothing. And I don't go on 10-hour drives daily either. I will this summer, but soon, but I don't now. We have some questions coming in. You sort of answered, but let's give Greg his due. First of all, before we answer Greg's question, you downloaded iOS 17, the beta version. Tell everybody how to do it, if they'd like to do it. Did you pay $100 for this?
Oh, yeah, I'm in a developer program. I've been in since day one, so that's just part of
it. That's $100 a year?
Yes, it's $100 a year.
Yeah. Okay, so because you're in the developer's program, they send you a link, you click it, and you download it, and you put it on one of your older phones?
Correct. Never put it on your only phone unless you're completely psycho. Really brave, or you don't do anything important where if it goes wrong, it goes wrong. So that's another reason why
I'm like our friend here with multiple phones. So
yeah. That's the reason why I put it on there. The public beta will be out sometime in July, and by the time it gets to that, it's normally relatively stable, but it's still a risk that you take. So don't mess around with it.
You did not try live stickers.
No, but I did do stickers in the chat, like press on a picture of Jeff's face and turn it into a sticker and try to send it. That's pretty cool. That is so much fun.
I can't wait. Question from Bev. There have been times when I'm shooting macro images with the iPhone 13 Pro Max, and when I click the shutter button, nothing happens. No photo. What am I doing wrong? I'd have to be there to see it. I sometimes have trouble with the zoom and getting the zoom coming in and out, but I usually just close the app and then start it up again. How about you, Doc?
Whenever the screen is doing that, I use a side trigger. Sometimes it's just your finger, not hidden at the right angle while you're trying to hold the phone weirdly to get a macro shot. You're just not able to get good purchase on that button. So I use the side trigger.
Yeah.
And see if that triggers the button. We did it the other day. We were trying to do a selfie, and then I was like, Jeff, if I reach the selfie button, then the pose just looks odd. So I just I clicked it, and then I was like, oh, yeah. It's easy to forget about the side button since we no longer have headphones. I always triggered my shutter with the headset. That was my life, and then they took it away.
Bev says it's almost like I'm too close, and, of course, you know the answer then. Move back a little bit, right?
Let me try this. Now she got me thinking.
He's going to try shooting some macro.
Okay. I got this so close that my camera is touching what I'm shooting. It still shoots. So that's not it.
Okay. Now,
if you ever know what one of these lip balms look like up close, it's pretty creepy. It's full of pocket dust.
Bev says thank you for the volume trigger. And Bev, you know how to get the volume trigger. Right.
It's
the top volume button, top volume, top left. Let's talk about a new app that came out this week from Capture One. Capture One is a photo editing software. It's sort of a rival to Lightroom. I'm not that familiar with it. Some photographers use it. They came out with an app that lets you connect your phone to the camera, your big camera, directly into the phone. And then let you take pictures on your Sony, and then you look at them on your iPhone on your 6.7 inch screen, where you have a lot more real estate. I think I have a 3.5 inch screen on my Sony. And for the joy of doing this, you could pay $5 monthly or $60 a year. What's your reaction, my friend Doc Rock?
I use two programs similar to this right now, built into Sony cameras. It used to be called Imagine Edge. They recently changed the name to Creators App. And I like it because on the newer phones, it uses the NFC now to connect, so it's much quicker. It used to be a pain in the butt to get the Sony cameras and the weird phone app to work properly, but now it's gotten a lot better and it works really well. Secondarily, I'm using an app called Monitor Plus, and with Monitor Plus, I'm normally using it in video mode. It does work in photo mode, but it allows you, if you've ever seen somebody use an Atomos Ninja or a Shinobi, you know, the kind of big monitors you stick on top of your phone, it basically turns your phone into that. So it's monitor with the plus sign. And I've used that a lot to do a bunch of triggering for, you know, shots and for video and things like that. So I would probably use it because in certain situations, putting the phone on a tripod, I mean, sorry, putting the camera on the tripod and then being able to trigger remote, interact with the person more. Imagine shooting dogs. It's really good for people that got to shoot dogs because your hands are free, which is why most dog shooters shoot with a remote, right? So now you have a remote that you can see and you can get in there and you can be like, hey, Fido, over here.
It would work great for me. I do headshots in my garage, which Doc Rock came and visited the other day, and he saw the garage.
And I forgot ask you to do a headshot. I'm so stupid.
I'm so dumb, too, because I should have done one. I'm sorry about that.
I totally forgot.
But people would like to see what the pictures look like, and if I could just show them on the iPhone, it would be a lot easier than the back of the Sony. I tried connecting my phone to the camera, and you know it didn't work. I have the 7-day free trial, and I connected the USB-C into the Sony and the Lightning into the phone, but no. That's not the right cable. You need the, there's a camera connector cable that Apple will sell you for $30. And that's what you're supposed to use.
You don't need that? You ready for the hack?
Yeah.
Go onto the Amazon box and look for an iPhone OTG cable or an iPhone OTG adapter. OTG stands for on the go.
Yeah.
That basically fully activates the USB portion of the bottom. But before, they didn't do that.
Question from Todd. I have a Sony RX100-4. Me too. No, actually, I have the RX10. And I use Imaging Edge to move my photos from the Sony to the iPad or iPhone. Connects via Bluetooth. That is true. This is just another thing that they're off. I think the difference is taking the picture and having it immediately go to your iPhone, right?
No, Image Edge does that too. And Image Edge has been changed. Well, actually, no, on the RX 100, it'll still be Imagine Edge.
Imaging
Edge, sorry.
Why would anybody in their right mind pay $60 a year for this app?
Because Capture One is Capture One. Capture One comes with a Porsche badge. You know, it's a moniker of professionalism. Okay. It will guarantee you do much more than the built-in app that comes with your phone.
Okay. Let's put it that way. Lightroom,
that's what I'm trying to say.
You can tether Lightroom as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
Tethering requires tethering. This doesn't require tethering.
Okay. Now, speaking of apps, you showed me an app the other day that you were really excited about. It's this new Rode app. Tell everybody about this app and what it does.
Oh, this app is so good. And let me see, do I have a Rode over here?
Now we're going into audio, and because both of us like to interview people, and we have to bring mics around with us, right?
But John, I do have...
Whoops.
I do have Rode mics here. So you want to take your Rode mic, if you have it. You don't have to. You can just use the built-in thing. But if you plug this guy in right here, and you plug the bottom into your phone... There is this app called Rode Capture. This app is so good. Here's the best part, people. It cost all of $3.95. $3.95. Make sure we emphasize the free.
-$95, you mean, right?
In Hawaii, we say $3.95, meaning it's free. Okay. It's a dumb statement.
Yeah.
That means your brain is too pedantic for that joke.
Sorry about that.
I'm just teasing. It's not your fault. So you basically power this on. It turns on the mic. So there's the microphone there. And in here it says Rode Wireless Me is connected on the screen. What's really cool about this app, whether you use the microphone or not, it has a dual camera mode. So with the dual camera mode, you can say run a split. Now what it's doing is showing you this side and that side simultaneously.
Both sides, for the front camera and the back camera.
The option here is I can tell the video to be record, Hello, English is my second language. I can tell the video to be recorded as a single file showing both cameras in one picture, or I can have it do individual files. So I get two separate files. So if I like to go back and edit, I can do that too.
Okay, so the advantage of this app is that you can record two video feeds. This is an audio app, but you can record two video feeds at the same time with a free app by just plugging in your mic.
100%.
So that sounds cool. We definitely want to get that. Rode Capture, write that down. I believe Greg has a question. I have not been able to read it, but let's see what Greg has to say. Do you think the iPhone switch to USB-C will have any kind of impact on the accessory market? Of course. Of course it will.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It. Okay, I'll be honest. I don't want it to go USB-C, and it's not for what everybody else's reasons are. Most people, they don't want it to go to USB-C because they have a myriad of lightning-oriented things. The reason why I don't want it to go USB-C is USB-C is 8 pins and lightning is 16. Lightning is self-healing pins, self-reassigning pins. USB-C is not that intelligent. Lightning cables cost more and have more things in them because there's a little teeny tiny, like, you know, chip in there in the end. And that's why MFI cables, when you plug in a cable that's not MFI, made for iPhone, you'll get a warning that says, I don't know what kind of cable that is. It'll work, it'll charge, but it won't do much more than charge. So Lightning, really, really smart. If
this okay, pin but, on a very, but they're making yes, the change. Yes, yes. They're making the change, so there's nothing we can do. So
you think so?
Yeah,
they're making the change. They're going to drag it out as long as possible.
No, they're making the change, which means that there's going to be everybody's going to have to get new cables and new devices.
So you think 14 will have it?
I think the 15 will have it.
I mean, sorry, 15. I have a 14.
I think the 15 will be USB-C. I think they've, I mean, pretty much have said it. And the iPad is USB-C, and we're just going to have to get more cables. I mean, the good news is
the iPad's Thunderbolt.
Okay, but we all have USB-C. For that and the GoPro and the drone and the Sony and everything else in the world. So I take it back. We may not need a lot of new cables, but what about the devices that plug into Lightning? We'll have to get new ones of those.
Yeah, I guess. Well, everything I have nowadays is USB-C anyway. So I think it'll be fine. It was just like the clock, which I don't use anymore because it turned the phone sideways. Maybe that's finally why we got turn the phone sideways action on a nightstand is because, you know, of that. Yeah, it's crazy. So we are going to basically downgrade our connector to match Europe because Europe was complaining and I don't think it was going to make the 15. I think they would go one more year if they can get away with it legally, but they have lost that lawsuit, so they might have to do it at 15.
Okay. In which case. Well, I welcome it. I have enough cables as it is, and this is just one more cable I will not need to have to remember, but we'll see what happens. Bev says, do either of you know what the iPhone 15 camera upgrades might be? Well, we could only guess. The rumor and coming from the analysts who have their ears to the ground talking to the suppliers is that it will be a 48 megapixel camera for all the phones, and that the telephoto will be, if not a 10x, could be a 20x, but will definitely be a higher range. The Galaxy right now is a 20x. Is it 10x? It's a 200 millimeter lens, optical telescope lens on the Galaxy, and I think they'll be matching that. We'll see, because they don't tell us anything. They'll announce it right after Labor Day. These are my best guesses. What's Doc Rock had to say?
I really believe that it's primarily just the phone. like you said, just the telephoto side of it, I think we will get better night production, because it always gets better because the chip gets better, and that neural learning really helps out a lot. And I think the other thing that we're going to see is with the sort of rangefinder body shape type thing coming back in action, we're going to see film recipes in RAW.
Okay. I'll look forward to that. Todd says, I have thousands of photos that I scanned, and I'm planning to purchase Topaz AI to enhance them. They are good already, pretty good already, but I can use a boost. Your thoughts, have you used Topaz? I have not. Doc Rock, I bet he has.
I have. Topaz is good. What's funny is I used the Topaz video one, which is even more psycho. It's expensive, though. But Topaz AI works really well. It's probably the best noise removal tool in the business.
Okay, but I got to say, I come from an era when I started the first digital cameras where they were really noisy. The cameras now are not noisy. I mean, you've got to work really hard to get noise in there.
We're putting the noise back.
I will shoot at 3200. I'll shoot at 6400, and they do not look noisy. So I don't need as much help with noise now. Do you?
No, not at all. And it's funny because, again, nowadays I'm putting the noise back. I bought a camera with film simulations. So if I'm shooting Agfa or, Fujifilms or Fujicolor or something like that, I'm actually going into adding noise grain because the camera's too good.
Okay, I will say, when I just talked about ISO ranges and 3200 and 6400, I'm talking about shooting on cameras, on like the Sony, because I'm a Sony shooter. The iPhone is noisy. The iPhone is noisy in the evening, so I take that back. Once the sun goes down, it can get pretty noisy.
I think that will get improved on the next one.
Yeah, we have a question from Roy from Arizona. Do you think the quality of the 10X will be better than the 14 Pro Max? Yes, I do. How about you?
Yes.
It always is.
I think so, too. I think we will get possibly an optical 10X, a digital 20X.
Well, digital doesn't count. Digital's crap.
But I think we'll get optical 10X that will pull 20. We might even get optical 20. Sensors are getting good.
Roy has another question, because I know he asked earlier at the iPhone photo team. He wants to know about a good car mount for his GoPro. And I have had the experience of using a suction cup, but I didn't like it. I like the Jaws, which is the clamp that you can clamp onto the windshield wiper. What's my friend from Hawaii say?
I use a Scoshi. That's not the right word. I think I want to call it that. It's basically a mount that doesn't come off. I got to get the link for it because the name is weird. But it's really cool because you take it and you give it a little twist lock, and it's in place. It ain't going nowhere. It's in there like swimwear, as we say.
Okay. Well, he looks that up. We talked about that. Please submit some more questions. When I met Doc Rock the other day, he was using... Well, actually, let me ask you something. Do your friends call you Doc, or do they call you Sean?
Nobody calls me Sean except for the police.
Okay. So everybody calls you Doc?
Yes.
And how many times a day do they say, "What's up, Doc?"
Only the first time I meet someone, they say that. After that, no one ever says it again because they know.
Doc, it's getting to be that hour. So tell everybody all the wonderful places that they can find you.
I'm sorry. You can find me all over. I'm still trying. I was thinking, like, how did the blind person know you were taking the tablet? But you fixed it. So anyway, I am all over the internet at DOCROCK, Doc Rock, on just about everything. And in cases where I'm not, somebody beat me to it. That's very rare. So I'm normally to be found. It is definitely one of those things.
And so, my website is photowalkstv.com and jeffersongraham.net. Both Doc Rock and I are going to be speaking on Saturday at the Video Storytellers Conference. I am going to be doing the Beginner's Guide to iPhone Photography. I'm going to walk you through the menu and the modes and tell you what everything is, because Apple doesn't tell you. So check me out there. I am the first session in the morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And Doc, I believe, is talking about the joy of going live. And he's also going to be on a panel discussion with our good friend, Frederick Van Johnson. All right, let's say goodbye. Thank you, Doc Rock.
Mahalo.
Let's do this again.
Yes.